Welcome to Bootleg Avocado, bringing you stories in the food startup world. So, this is our first new episode.
We took
a little hiatus.
Whose fault is that?
I think both of our faults. But what we want to do is actually, obviously, introduce Anthony Nichols. How you doing?
All right, I'm good. Good to be here.
And just a little bit about, your consultancy and what you do.
Well, I'm Chef Anthony Nichols, and my company is Speak Feast, LLC, and you can reach out to me on www.speakfeast.com or at Speak Feast on Instagram. We're working on a couple of things. We're working currently with a couple of fast casuals, Go Greek in Garden City, New York, Mulberry and Vine, which just opened a new location in
Brooklyn. How many locations are there?
They're now on 3.
Wow. Okay.
And actually, this week, we're really excited. We're going to be shooting our first episode of Speak Feast, and we're going to be visiting Wynn Noble in Wynn Noble Plateware in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And she is the plateware person for David Chang and 11 Madison Park. She's done a lot of work, and she's a really special, really talented artist, and we're going to go and explore her. Mm-hmm. And her process a little bit.
Okay.
So
nice.
It's good. Good stuff. Good things are happening.
Good. I mean, summertime, I was thinking things would slow down, but it's good that it's busy.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Okay, so this episode, we're going to talk about voice. You know, the future of voice, what exactly that entails. Like with every episode, we talk about food startups, the entrepreneurs behind them, and we also try to get them in touch with certain experts in that field. So we're happy to have Bahubali Shete from Clove Chef. Bahubali, how are you today?
I'm good, Mario.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so the way we kind of do this is, we'll jump into a few different things about your concept, your product, but we start every episode with a empathy question, basically like an icebreaker.
Okay.
To kind of really, gauge your thoughts on certain things, but also opportunity for you to introduce your product that way. So today's question is, what makes an experience meaningful?
What makes an experience meaningful? Any experience that actually doesn't ask for a behavioral change,
mm-hmm.
and just feels like you're part of it. I mean, it's part of what you do usually do.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a great experience.
Okay.
So if we are able to bring that experience, then it's a meaningful experience.
Okay. I think you get that, right?
I think that's probably one of the best empathy answers we've had.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I do like that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Something that doesn't require behavioral change. Something that doesn't require behavioral change and just being yourself and doing what you do naturally, your natural ability and your natural talent. That's mm-hmm. fantastic.
That's a great answer. So how does this kind of relate to your product in Clove Chef?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's what we are trying to do all along, that we want to help people cook in their kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing in technology, we want to make sure that they don't change the way they cook.
Mm-hmm.
They cook the way they cook, right?
Right.
So that asking somebody to change the way they cook just because you are giving technology is something calling for trouble. In the sense, nobody will go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So at Clove Chef, we are trying to do is, without bringing any change in the way they cook today, we're trying to help them out.
Okay.
So we are trying to look at what's the natural way of actually helping them out,
mm-hmm.
and trying to leverage the technology to continue what they do without bringing a behavioral change and give an experience that really helps them.
So what is Clove Chef? Anthony, is your first time really kind of, experiencing what it is and all that stuff. So what would be, your pitch to Anthony? How can you get him excited about Clove Chef and get him cooking, even though he's a chef, so?
Yeah, sure. I think, so Clove Chef is a voice-guided solution. It's called voice-first solution. that helps people cook. It's like Waze for cooking. So it can, you can pick a recipe, you can walk through it step by step in a conversational manner. And this runs on the voice assistants like Amazon Alexa and Google Home. So all you do is, you know, pick a recipe and then it walks through it step by step. It gives you instructions and it's highly conversational in the sense you can ask it to pause, you can ask it to repeat a step, you can ask it to skip a step, you can ask it to, you know, go back, all that you can do.
Sure.
Which is how typically recipes are told by some expert or someone who is helping in assisting in recipes to a person actually cooking. So that's the experience we are trying to bring in. Yeah. And
well, I mean, as a chef, for me, there are things that I do instinctually that I've been doing for like quite some time. But if I'm doing something in terms of making a tart dough or something that requires a specific amount of an ingredient, I don't always feel inclined to go grab my cookbook or go grab my notes, and you just want that quick reference point. Like you said, Waze is really good. So maybe you remember the vicinity of a location, but you don't know the exact location, and sometimes you just need a quick direction. So, for example, if you're making a dough, you need two. All right, I'm making a dough that is going to have 15 servings. I need eight cups of flour or a certain amount of butter, and I don't always remember that. So that could be something that would be very helpful for a chef, because you do need some direction. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, but you do need some direction.
Yeah,
that's a great point. I mean, the way I, you know, envisage this, or my vision is that if you look back 10 years or 15 years, nobody would have imagined or even accepted the fact that you will be using a smartphone application to drive from point A to point B in your own city. But today, irrespective of the fact that you know the route very well back of your head, you still follow the Google Maps because you want to know if there is a, you know, detouring required, or am I going to reach late, or how much time it is going to take,
or a shorter route
or something like that.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So it has become a way of actually driving today, and that's how we want CloChef to be. That it's a way of cooking. It's not that you need help, and hence you refer a cookbook for that, but you just feel more comfortable if you're cooking with CloChef. That's the experience we want to bring in. Mm-hmm.
And then just the voice, you know, going to a voice technology. Voice technology is new, you know, to a lot of people. What's an advantage of voice, you know, just in just that part of the technology itself, and like, where do you kind of see it going?
It's a great point. Actually, I want to make one thing clear that we didn't go for voice technology because it's cool. We went in for voice technology after we did quite a bit of survey with the consumers and understood that voice is the only thing which actually helps them solve the problem naturally in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple reasons. That when you're cooking, your hands are wet, dirty meat hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to touch or swipe a phone.
Mm-hmm.
But today, if they are referring a recipe, they need to, you know, wash their hands and dry it up and then touch and swipe and go to the point they want and then refer that, come back and cook. And sometimes it doesn't work that way. It kind of might be, it will burn your dish by the time you actually do all that and come back. So that is where we felt voice is great.
Mm-hmm.
You can just speak and ask for the directions and, you know, get what you want and get going in cooking. So that is why we felt that voice is the most natural way of actually giving instructions or helping somebody in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we ended up being a voice first solution, not today when everybody is talking about voice, but 2 years back we decided that we should go that route.
Okay.
We started building on Amazon Alexa. Probably we are one of the very early adapters of Amazon Alexa and Google Home who built our skills to for cooking purposes.
Right. Got it. I mean, there's a lot of apps out there, all recipes, all those, they're all tap and swipe and everything else. So do you see the, at least on the voice end, being very competitive? Like, how do you see everything kind of evolving in just in that realm?
Yeah. The way others are approaching this versus what we are approaching is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them already have an established website or an app and a consumer base which is used to that. They are now telling those consumers that you can also use this on voice. Mm-hmm. So if you are an Alexa, you can use that. And what they end up doing is they are actually converting a text into a speech and trying to make Alexa to read out step by step.
Right, right.
Which is a very, you know, standard thing which everybody is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are trying to do different is we are coming from an angle that we don't have anything in the back end.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to deliver a voice experience.
Right.
So everything what we are building, the content, the experience, the design of the whole solution is by design built for voice.
Okay.
And that's how, you know, we are approaching. So even though there will be a lot of people who will be seen like a competition, but on a long run, I think we will win because we are very robust in our design from the experience point of view.
Okay. All right, so let's take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk your background. You're a three-time entrepreneur or startup or four?
Yeah.
How many startups have you been involved in?
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
It's more than three, but we'll talk about it.
All right, we'll be right back. Thanks.
Okay.
Hello. So today's episode, we're talking about voice, how kind of voice is changing a lot of different industries, particularly in the food world. So we have Bahubali Shete from Clove Chef here. So we talked briefly about the product and everything else. Let's talk about you as far as what your background is. You're a tech guy, right?
Right.
So how did you start in the industry, and you've been involved in a bunch of startups, so walk us through that whole experience.
Yeah, sure. I've been a tech guy. I mean, I've been building technologies and products based on technologies from the last 30 years. And in fact, I've started off as an automation engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I've done steel plant automations, robotics, CNC machines, that's computer numerically controlled machines, and
yeah,
stuff like that. And then I've done the flight simulators, the physical flight simulators, which was like one of them which we built was C-17 cockpit, a huge cockpit mounted on six axes, and you know, it was a great project.
So flight simulators.
It's a flight simulator.
Wow.
And then after that, as far as startups are concerned, I did my first stint of entrepreneurship when I was 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
That time I built about three companies. One was doing a computers dealership and maintenance back in India. And second was we used to buy the CNC machines from Germany and Japan and refurbish them and then sell it in Indian market.
Uh-huh.
That was my second business. And third was we used to manufacture UPS and servo stabilizers.
Okay.
So that was my three companies that time. And then, you know, after that, I went back to job. And then I was in Ireland. I was in US for in Buffalo for a few years. And then I went back, work with another big company in India called Tata Elxsi.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started off my second stint of entrepreneurship in 2009. And the first company which I joined as a co-founder was a robotic valet parking solution.
Uh-huh.
So we are a technology partner for a company in the US called Boomerang Systems. And we built the entire technology solution for them from India.
Right. And this is the I think I remember this one. So it's like a automatic parking garage ish, right?
Yes.
So what do? You drive up to the...
Yeah, you just drive up to the parking bay. Uh-huh. Or not the parking bay, the front entrance of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And there you just drop your car and then, you know, swipe your card or fingerprint and then walk away.
Mm-hmm.
The car will be taken inside and it will be parked.
Mm-hmm.
And then car actually goes and sits on a tray and the tray is picked up and parked inside.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know you are coming back, you can either send a message or SMS or, you know, probably now they would have already developed an app as well.
Mm-hmm.
So using that, you can actually retrieve your car, start retrieving your car even before you come up to the parking lot, so that the car is ready when you come there. So idea was you should not spend more than 60 seconds to get your car back.
Wow. How big is the garage?
Irrespective of what size it is, we had all that built in. Of course, I mean, if you don't tell us ahead of time that you're coming back,
it'll take a bit.
Then it'll take a bit. But if you have already scheduled that you're going to pick it up back around 5 p.m. or something like that,
mm-hmm.
then it'll be waiting somewhere nearer to the exit bay.
Valet parkers beware. Your jobs are at stake.
Yeah.
Now, so this is all of these things are so interesting. And so I want to ask, what inspires your work? I mean, is it your passion for technology, or is it your passion for solving problems?
Yeah, I think passion for solving problems is the biggest thing. So far, until that particular startup of robotic valet parking, it was mostly trying to solve bigger problems, industrial problems, problems for enterprises and stuff like that. But post that, my previous startup and this startup, it has been looking at a consumer's day-to-day life and trying to solve those problems. So we started the second startup, which I started in 2011, was an IoT-based platform startup. So we started up IoT is even before the IoT word was, you know, coined. Or
what's IoT for people who don't know?
Okay, IoT is Internet of Things.
Yeah.
So even before Internet of Things become a big thing, we were already building it, and we were one of the first, we are the first hardware startup to be acquired in India in the IoT space. So, in fact, the Indian government also, you know, awarded me as IoT thought leader last year in 2017. That startup got acquired in 2014, and then I stayed on till 2016, and in 2016 I started out this one, this Closure. So in Closure also, it in fact started off as another hardware product startup, where we used to build sensors for cooking. So you have a knob, we had a temperature probe and a weighing scale. So the knob will actually go on any cooktop. All you do is you turn the knob, it'll ask you, hey, what's cooking? And then you can say, I'm boiling eggs or boiling pasta or doing whatever it is. And then it knows inherently how long it takes typically to boil or cook that particular thing. It'll automatically set the timer and give you an alert when it is done. So that was the product which we built. Mm-hmm. So trying to take away the guesswork and helping the consumer to do a multitasking, that was the idea. But then hardware is hard, right? So we went through an acceleration program with FoodX, and during that program, based on the feedback we were getting, we thought we had a bigger game if we moved to a software-wise-based solution than playing with the hardware. So that's where we pivoted to a software-only solution. And from then onwards, you know, it's been a dream run for us.
Great. But hardware itself, so there's a lot of investment. You need manufacturing. What are the other things with hardware it's always like a struggle?
So any tech startup, be it hardware or software, I think getting the first few thousand or even up to 100,000 consumers to use their product is very easy. I wouldn't say easy, but it's doable. But beyond that, scaling, it takes a lot. So especially in hardware, unless you are a big brand like, you know, Philips or Motorola or somebody, it's hard to make millions or, you know, tens of million people buy that.
Mm-hmm.
And the scalability becomes a huge challenge, because that's where the scaling from 100,000 beyond becomes a huge, huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take the examples of you know, one of the few hardware startups who have succeeded in the recent past, like Fitbit, or there was a company called Pebble who used to make watches. They've also got acquired by Fitbit, and Nest got acquired by Google.
Mm-hmm.
So end of the day, all these startups, hardware startups, are either they are getting acquired by bigger brand,
right,
and then they continue the growth, or otherwise they literally fall off the cliff.
Yeah. I mean, that's similar in the food world with CPG products.
Sure.
And going to co-packers and then growing that product large enough that a company like Campbell's would,
or Nestle
would acquire, correct?
Right.
About
right.
The same process. Yeah. Okay. Cool. You got any? It's a lot, right?
I mean, it's very impressive, and I think your value is that you're passionate about solving problems, but you also have the ability of technology. And all these various things that you're discussing, where a lot of people don't have that. And I think that's a very special ability. I mean, I'm a chef, I want to solve problems, but I don't necessarily have the technology or the know-how to do it from a technological standpoint. And I think, I don't know if you guys would agree, but I think for the most part, chefs are old-fashioned food. Is the food industry is old-fashioned. I know when we went to culinary school, it was about a copper pot and some butter and just using a stovetop. So I'm curious to see how, I mean, I think it's going to be great for the consumer, but I'm curious to see how the food industry responds to technology. And I think also that there has been some headway with molecular gastronomy and sous vide machines and things like that.
A lot of products out there
sous vide,
yeah.
I mean, sous vide for the consumer is really gone.
Uh-huh.
It's really exploded with all the different machines that are out
right
now.
Yeah, I think I know three or four sous vide machines that you could buy right now.
Absolutely, exactly.
Yeah.
They're doing really well, and a lot of people are responding to them. But I would love to see how this would impact the restaurant or fast casual industry as a whole as they start to embrace technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those who don't will be left behind.
I mean, a lot of the technology that's in the food world right now, it's really like, at least in the restaurant scene, it's their POS system, is their inventory and all those things that, you know, and they're all kind of disjointed, you know? So there needs to be some type of innovation in that realm. Other than that, like, what other technology really is?
Well, I mean, could you imagine, I think one of the biggest parts with the food industry is training. And if someone could just speak to recipes, oh, you know, if there's a voice, if there's an Alexa there, and somebody can just now reference that and say, can you remind me what's in that, or what's the process of it?
Yeah.
Then that would help them. You know, what do I need to grab for this amount of the recipe?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to going to a training manual or getting a supervisor to kind of guide you along.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's going to be a key component to the success of a lot of brands as they start to scale up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a great point, and I can talk at length on this because there's a huge learning for me in the past few years in terms of, you know, what technology should and shouldn't do. So especially, you know, as a startup, you know, coming from technology background, we have the tendency of actually showing off that we have this cool technology which can do things. It's like the hammer looking for a nail, right? So it's not actually, it's a solution looking for a problem. That's what people say, right? So the second thing which, you know, I also learned is that, I mean, I keep saying this, cooking made us human. That's what differentiates humans from the rest of these species. We are the only species who cook. So cooking made us human. Cooking is so much part of us that it's very hard to change our behavior in cooking. Right. Everything else is adapted over a period of time. You know, we have learned other skills, but cooking is something that's built into us. And
it's personal.
It's personal. Sure. Very personal. Very, you know, and it's very hard to change. Very hard to change cooking behavior. And this is the second point. The third point which I want to make is that in my previous startup, you know, we built cool IoT technologies and stuff like that. I mean, I still remember, you know, demonstrating to one of my big B2B client saying that we have an IoT technology. You know, instead of getting up and turning the switch on, you can do all that using your phone. It was simple to say that, but when it actually came to you know, looking at how the consumer looks at it, it was a big failure, because it's easier for somebody to flip a switch on the wall than unlock his phone, open the app, and look for that specific bulb and then turn it on. It's a lot of work to do than just switching the flipping a switch. So that taught me something, that what is there today, if we cannot make it simpler than that, then the technology of no use.
Right. You're basically, there's more barriers to using the technology.
Yeah.
So
technology shouldn't be the way to change or bring a convenience.
Mm-hmm.
The solution should actually leverage a technology to give a better experience. And that's my learning from all these three things is what has come out in CloudShip. And that's why I'm very confident that we are going to make big waves in cooking industry.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, so let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's jump a little bit more, maybe do a demo of the product.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of go from there. So we'll be right back. Food Tech, Voice, and Clove Chef. So we have Bahubali Shekha from Clove Chef here. We kind of want to jump into the product a little bit more. So where is the product progress-wise right now? And what's kind of the plan for it?
Yeah, sure. So today we have our first version of MVP,
mm-hmm.
Minimum Viable Product, already completed, and we have rolled that out as a beta test to many users, and we are testing that out today. We have been refining the product continuously. You know, we're bringing in changes to make it better, definitely based on the feedback we have been receiving, and we will be going live public sometime in August.
Okay, that's in a month.
Yes.
So what are things right now that are like keeping you up at night?
I think the biggest challenge for any startup in the beginning is acquiring consumers.
Mm-hmm.
We think this is a cool technology, and that's the reaction we have heard from a lot of people who have actually used it. But letting people know that this is there, letting people know that this is possible, that has been the biggest challenge for us, and that's what is keeping me up all night.
How do you feel that you're going to bridge the gap? I mean, by using is it marketing? You mentioned before in an earlier segment that getting your first 10,000 users or consumers is a doable option. What's the strategy? Or what's the textbook strategy for getting your first 10,000 customers?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially given that this is a voice-first solution. We have seen bigger challenges here to acquire consumers than a traditional textbook approach of marketing. The reason is most of the marketing, which now I call it as a traditional marketing, which is the digital marketing era, the Facebook ads and all those, they actually lead to somebody to either make a purchase on a website or make a download of an app to happen, right? And all that is a seamless journey on your mobile or your desktop. But today, when you're asking people to, you know, see an advertisement of Closed Chef and then switch to your Echo device and then speak out there to get going is a disconnect. It means you're changing from your desktop or your desktop, your mobile to a third device, and that's where you are supposed to, you know, activate our solution and get started with that. And that is the biggest challenge for us. That's the biggest challenge for two reasons. One is making people to do that is the one challenge, and knowing that people have done it and our advertisement is actually yielding results is a bigger second challenge. There is a huge disconnect between what happens in our digital ads versus how the skill is getting enabled by the consumers. There is no way we can bring a traceability between these two, because one is voice-based, another is touch and, you know, mobile-based platform. So I think we have cracked the problem now. We are able to connect these two and bring the traceability, but time will tell.
And right now, the skills that are out there on Amazon, they're not that great. I mean, people usually use their Alexa just to listen to music, right?
Playing your music.
Yeah. There you go.
Alexa, stop. There you go.
Yeah. Definitely, most of the early adopters of Alexa have bought Alexa either to try out what it is, mm-hmm. or they have some smart home devices. For that reason, they have bought it. And what is happening is most of them are, you know, they use it once in a week or twice in a week or three times in a week at the max. Other than playing music, there are no real use cases of Alexa which can engage the consumer on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and for a longer period.
Yeah.
And most of these skills are built in such a way that I can just ask for something.
Right.
You know, just like instead of Google search, I just ask it here.
Right.
That's the way, you know, it's happening right now. What's the weather? How's the traffic?
Yeah.
You know, set me an alarm. Those kind of simple things are what is built there. You're right. I mean, there aren't many, you know, big apps like Facebook or anything which bring in that stickiness for the consumers yet.
Right. Because it's not smart, and it's also a one-way street. You ask the questions, it doesn't really interact, or you don't have a conversation with it, right?
Yeah, most of the solutions built are for one question query and stuff like that.
Hmm. But the technology will develop. I mean, eventually it will start to catch up.
Oh, no, technology is already there. Technology is already there, but bringing in that right user interaction is the challenge part. To have a conversation going and maintain the context and understand the context and continue to respond more meaningfully, that's the bigger challenge.
Do you see maybe even skipping Amazon Alexa and maybe just going through, you see technology going through smart devices like smart stoves or smart refrigerators or smart appliances that already have internet capability or web capability, and then just going through them? Because, I mean, could you imagine a stove? And I think Samsung has already started to work with some technology, stoves that are internet, that have web capability and that are smart, where you have the stove already, a smart stove that has access to Clove, and I can just, you know, it's in your kitchen while your Alexa's already playing music, but your smart stove is already accessing recipes and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you fast forward probably 3 to 5 years, that will be the case. Today, unfortunately, the smart kitchen appliances are so expensive for no reason.
Right.
That it has become a deterrent for people to switch to these appliances. And people don't change up stovetops, I mean, that easily.
Right.
It's usually 5 years, 10 years, 15
yeah.
years.
I think Samsung does have a touch screen.
Yeah.
Touch screen stovetop. I think they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so most of the smart kitchen appliances which are being rolled out today are more to promote the capabilities of the product than to help the consumers. And what I mean is, yeah, and you, when you get a smart stove, the smart things it can do is, you know, setting a timer and giving you an alert and stuff like that. There isn't a smart kitchen appliance which is kind of doing what we are talking about, you know, doing the taking the consumer through the entire journey of meal planning all the way up to the dinner table. That is not there yet. And that is where devices like Alexa will play a bigger role, because these are neutral devices and they can actually unify all these smart appliances in your kitchen, and at the same time they can take you through the entire journey. It's a different thing which is actually going to happen 3 years or 5 years down the line, that every device you see will get integrated with something like Alexa. Then you still have a unified solution there, but it's a virtual Alexa sitting there in your kitchen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Literally, you walk in, you talk to your kitchen. And your kitchen helps you with everything.
That's shopping.
It
tells you what you're missing
mm-hmm.
out of your fridge.
Yep.
Yeah, in fact, voice technology, what I see is going to set us free. I mean, that's what there is. One of my very favorites, because, you know, where a person has moved from the books to computers to mobile, and now the next thing is he will go back to, the circle seems to be ending now. He's going back to no devices carrying around.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, you know, your body, the clothes you are wearing and stuff like that, the watch and those kind of things, where the wearable technology will grow to a point where the wearable technology become your mobile, your you know, GPS tracker, everything for you. So you don't have to literally carry anything new. You just wear what you have and move on, and technology comes with you.
Wow.
One day.
Yeah. Voice is breaking all the barriers which we had in technology, and that's going to change the way we are going to see the world now.
Right. Okay, so let's jump into a quick demo.
Sure.
So I'll take this off, and then so basically we have a, you know, Amazon device.
I can give a quick demo. Alexa, open Close Chef.
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, Alexa. Open Close Chef.
Welcome to Close Chef. I'm your cooking assistant. What would you like to cook today?
Chicken pad thai.
I have 9 different types of a chicken pad thai. Here are the options. Chicken pad thai, or chicken piccata with capers over linguine, or Maui chicken and pineapples over coconut rice. Which one do you want? You can select one by saying, the first one, or the second one, or the third one. To hear more, say next.
The first one.
Okay, chicken pad thai provided by Global Deli. Shall we get started?
Yeah, so that's how you can, you know, get started, and then it'll start giving you ingredients
one by one. Chicken pad thai provided by Global Deli. Shall we get started? You can say yes, or no, or you can ask to stop the recipe.
Yes. We're going to.
Let's start by making sure we have all the ingredients. Do you want me to read them one by one?
No.
The first ingredients for chicken pad thai are 1/2 teaspoon Thai burnt chili powder. 3 tablespoons brown sugar, 2 tablespoons fish sauce.
Okay, so the cool part is, so it helps you gather the ingredients first, right? So what's what's kind of the process we're looking at?
So basically, it'll first, you know, go through the ingredients one by one or in a batch, depending on how you want to go through it, and then helps you to gather all the ingredients. And after that, it'll take you through the preparations of ingredients, and then it'll actually start. Once you're ready, it'll actually say, okay, let's get started, and then gives you recipe steps one by one. And during cooking, you can actually ask it to pause, you can ask it to wait, you can ask it to go back, you can ask it to repeat, you can do all that. It's completely conversational. It's, as you saw, even the, you know, picking a recipe was so conversational. It's a completely conversational, and it is smart too. And we do quite a bit of smart things beyond what Amazon gives in a basic skill. In terms of searching the recipes or in terms of handling the user's responses. And that's another challenging thing in voice technology is that in case of touch phones and the smartphones, you're already pre-defining what buttons user is going to press and you know exactly what's going to happen. So either he's going to say go ahead or he's going to cancel. Those are the only two options.
Right.
But in case of voice, he can actually say the same thing to go ahead in 10 different ways. And we should be able to handle all that. And that's the hard part. And that is where, you know, our technology comes in. We do a lot of natural language processing ourselves on top of what Amazon does to handle a lot of these things so that the experience is still as humanly as possible. And we also do, you know, some smart things like sentiment analysis in the back end. To understand what the user is saying, what is the tempo, and are they being sarcastic in what they're saying, or are they, you know, enjoying it, or how is it going? And based on that, we, you know, change the conversational style and, you know, make it more appealing to the consumers.
And I like how it basically gives you options for what you're searching for and all that stuff. Would it also do that for, let's say, I'm gluten and gluten intolerant or lactose intolerant? How do you kind of gauge preferences and the personal aspect of this?
Yeah, so initially, when the system is new, you know, it will not know anything about what you want. So it'll probably give you all the options possible.
Okay.
And the user can say that, you know, I want something gluten-free. Or I want, you know, I'm allergic to so-and-so, and give me something which doesn't include, say, coconut milk.
Right.
Then we can actually, the system can actually search based on those ingredients and exclude them and give you only the recipes which are, you know, fitting to your needs. That's what we do. But over a period of time, what the system will also do, which is not released yet, but it will come very soon, is that it'll ask you questions over a period of time or learn about your preferences over a period of time and then automatically adjust. So once it knows that you're allergic to coconut, it'll, next time you ask for a recipe, it'll make sure that you don't get a coconut recipe which includes coconut. It automatically filters them and then gives you the ones which are coconut free.
Okay.
So that's how, you know, that's how the system is built.
Great.
Is there a user is there a user sort of profile developed, or is it just a case by case?
There are 40 different parameters which we have in mind, which we will be requiring in order to understand the food preferences of the person, the cooking preferences of the person who is cooking, you know, their cooking skills. All those things matter and when we are running through them, the recipe. So we collect all these and we build what is called a cook profile and a family food profile. And that is very specific to the consumers.
So you would be able to put in that you are allergic to coconut as well. You would be able to put in all of your family preferences when you open up that first profile with Clove.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and but I think the goal is to do it naturally over like a conversation, right? Versus like putting a profile on your, you know, on interviews, you know.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is what, you know, I keep telling to the team is that now how would you do that when, for example, if you met a new friend, you wouldn't ask him to fill a form and to understand what he is. You actually have natural conversations. And over a period of time, you learn about him and understand his preferences, his likes and dislikes. The same way, our solution should also understand about the consumer over a period of time by asking contextual questions rather than asking them to fill up a form and stuff like that.
Cutting to the chase and just really asking specific questions that will kind of identify that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just to give you an example, say, there are a lot of idle times during cooking. Say, when the pasta is boiling, for the next 10 to 12 minutes, you have nothing to do. And that's the time we actually utilize to have more conversations and ask him, now, how many times do you cook pasta? Does your family like pasta? And, of course, we do ask him a question. Do you mind me asking you a few questions? And if you say yes, if you're busy, you can say no. And it'll, you know, wait for another opportunity. But if you give an opportunity, it'll definitely ask you certain relevant questions and start learning about you.
It's gonna be like a nice new best friend, really.
A new friend
that doesn't ask for anything.
It helps you out. That's kind of the persona you're going for, right?
Right. That's what we are trying to build as a friendly, but knowledgeable assistant standing next to you and then telling you what to do.
How to cook and everything, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to learn to cook. There's people that cook a lot, and there's people that just, you know, don't.
And I think a major part for people who don't cook a lot or want to cook is they don't know where to start, how to organize themselves. And I think Clove Chef helps you stay organized, get your ingredients together, tells you what you want to, you know, tells you what to do, what your next step is, and essentially anybody who doesn't have any idea about cooking can just put these things together. They're just following instructions, and then eventually learning the process of cooking.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think I didn't mention it explicitly, but we do start from meal planning, and then helping you to buy the ingredients online, and the entire process of cooking. Yeah. We take you through all the three journeys.
So sort of developing a pantry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that people can, you know, be sort of ready and prepared. I mean, I guess there's identifiable ingredients for people that want to start cooking. So, you know, you need flour, you need salt, you need black pepper, you need certain staples in your kitchen to pretty much start doing any basic recipe. Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, so let's take a quick little break here. We'll come back with just some closing remarks and any other things that we are, you know, trying to understand with Clove Chef and everything else. So we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Welcome back to Bootleg Avocado. We are talking food tech. Voice first platform for recipes is Clove Chef. So it seems like we talked a lot about on the consumer side of things and, you know, and everything else. So what's kind of the advantage on, let's say I have a food product or what's kind of the type of partnership this kind of brings to the table?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that brings a very important question that how do we make money, right? So,
because it's free to consumers,
right? It's free to consumers.
Okay.
So how do we make money is, the way we have designed this is that this is a voice marketing and voice commerce platform for our partners.
Mm-hmm.
So basically any food brand or kitchen related, any brand, like it could be kitchen accessories, appliances, tools, or the CPG brands or grocery stores and all of them, they can actually use this as a platform to promote their products. So since we have a lot of idle time between the cooking steps, we can use that time to actually give a voice-based advertisement to the consumer in a highly contextual manner. And this is something which is going to blow out, grow so big very soon, because here you have undivided attention from the consumer, unlike radio ads or TV ads, mm-hmm. right? People may be doing something else and the ads will be running, but in this case, they are actually having undivided attention from the consumer. Mm-hmm. Second, it is as economical and, you know, cost-wise as digital ads, like the Facebook ads and other things. It's as economical as that. Third, it's highly contextual. The Facebook ads or the Google ads and other things are actually appearing only when you are browsing for something, not when you are cooking.
Right. So you're not distracted.
Whereas this is actually giving you a related product ad when you're actually cooking. Say, for example, you're adding spices to your food, it can say that, you know, McCormick has this new spice blend which can go with this kind of cooking, and do you want me to add this to your shopping list? In one go, I have given an advertisement and also given an option for the user to add it to the shopping list or shopping cart. And all user has to say is yes.
Yeah, and the person's hungry too because they're cooking, right? Like they're cooking to satisfy their stomach.
Sure.
But in that,
like the old adage, don't go grocery shopping when you're hungry, because you just start buying.
That's essentially the benefit of it.
And it's also interesting to know that there is a study conducted by Google in 2016, which says that 39% of the purchases are happening when people are in the kitchen.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's 2016. And now with voice assistant sitting in the kitchen and all this voice enabled platform enabling you to do the grocery shopping, this number must be way above 50. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't have the numbers, but it should be much more than 39.
Is that because most people congregate in their kitchens? Most people are in their kitchens?
Yes. So around the island
in the kitchen, everyone has their laptops out, there's cooking, there's eating, there's talking.
Yeah.
And that's really where everyone's buying stuff, I guess.
Right. And that's the family place, right? That's right. Where the, you know, husband and wife and kids, everybody is in one place at the, other than living room.
Right.
Where also they are actually busy with the TV or their own smartphones,
mm-hmm.
kitchen is the only place where they are talking to each other more.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where conversations happen and purchases also happen.
Yeah.
And kitchen is the place where they are very impulsive about these purchases also. And since most of these products which we are talking, the CPG products and stuff like that, they are under $20 or $30, it's an impulse buy. So people end up saying, okay, add it to my shopping list or cart. Very easy. So.
Right. That's great. So you're partnering with CPG brands, right?
Yes.
Meal kit companies as well, right?
Yes. Meal kit is our, you know, best partner for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, meal kits have recipes and they have the right consumer who are, you know, who want to cook, and they are the right consumers because they are also slightly tech-savvy consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they would have a voice assistant like Amazon Alexa. There's a great bit of overlap there. And that's the right consumer persona for us also. Third thing is we can give a feedback, analytical data back to the meal kit companies that when your consumer has actually cooked your meal, how long did it take? You've said it's a 20 minutes meal, but it would have taken 25 minutes or 35 minutes for those consumers. So what's the, now across 100 consumers who cooked this meal,
mm-hmm.
now how, what's the average time it has taken? What's the most difficult step they faced? Now how many times they asked us to repeat a step, or they took longer in that particular step? So those are the insights which we can actually give it. And all this happens anonymously. That's one thing we made sure, that we don't give any consumer's specific data to anyone. So we also do not store it on our system. All we know is you are an Amazon Alexa user, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a specific ID which is given by Amazon, that's all. So We don't store any of your personal details, but we know that this particular ID guy has this kind of preferences and he can make these purchases and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how he typically cooks Italian, you know, 3 times in a week or 4 times in a week and stuff like that. Those kind of, you know, insights which we can give it back to the meal kit consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And third thing which we do is very interesting is the feedback. So how the meal went, did they like the meal kit dish? That we can collect right when the cooking happens. It's a one thing getting that kind of feedback from the consumer or your apps or, you know, just conducting a survey, which is even more worse because 2 days after what you cooked, you will not remember how it tasted. Whereas when you actually cook at that point of time, if you ask, you'll get exactly the clear cut feedback as how it tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And because we can do sentiment analysis, we can dig deeper into what they said to get more details about what actually delighted them or what actually, you know, was a pain point to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually understand the throughout the spectrum where the consumer falls and do a sentiment analysis, and based on that give a very clear feedback to the meal kit partner saying that this is what consumers felt about your product.
So like instant feedback, real time.
It's real time. It's highly qualitative.
Is it location based as well? I mean,
yeah,
so you
it can.
Particular neighborhood or a particular part of New York is purchasing or cooking mainly Italian food, which would also help any local partners that you might want to partner with and say, hey, listen, you know, 50% or 60% of our users are buying pasta, and they're, you know, this is what they're buying, or non-gluten, you know, gluten-free pasta, you know, that kind of thing. So you can target potential partners.
Yes, yes, it's possible. So we can give very location-specific data, time data, everything that's possible.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's crazy. So people could go to, so right now the product is live on Amazon Alexa?
Yes, it's live on Amazon Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing which we worked very hard to make sure that it's very simple to start using it. So the way you start using it is, you know, you don't have to download anything, you don't have to sign up anything. You just say to your Amazon device, Echo device, Alexa, open Clo Chef.
Wow.
That's all.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's fantastic.
You're all set.
Yeah. And it's just for people to know, it's Clo Chef with a K. K-L-O-V-E.
That's
chef.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Clochef.com. Okay.
K-L-O-V-E. Clochef.
And why the K? Why Clove?
Okay. So it's again, you know, as part of our branding process when we went through it, you know, that's the dream we had, is to bring people on the dinner table together. And it's like the family bonding, the kitchen love is what brings them together.
So Clo Chef is kitchen love.
That's great.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And then I like the logo. It's cool because it's actually four people at a table.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's also a clove.
Yeah. Like a four-leaf clove.
Four-leaf clove. It looks like a clove. And then it also looks as a top view of four people sitting on a round table.
Uh-huh. Very cool.
That's great.
All right, so we're going to close off, but before we, you know, say our goodbyes, what do you want people at home or listening to this podcast to understand or know, or like what's your last remarks, I guess, about Clo Chef?
All I say is, you know, try this out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very hopeful, very confident that you will like it.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, we are very open to your feedbacks, and we will be continuously working on this to make this as the ways for cooking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they can go to clochef.com, clochef with a K, K-L-O-V-E-C-H-E-F.com. And then if they have an Amazon Alexa, they just say, Alexa, open Clo Chef. And then Google Home is coming out. You guys are going to be doing some of Google Home as well?
Yeah, it'll take probably another month or two, September, we should be out with Google Home as well.
Yeah, cool. So thanks, Bahubali, for being here. Anthony, what are your final remarks?
This has been spectacularly eye-opening in terms of...
You're quieter. You're usually not as quiet, but...
I mean, I think... So speakfeast.com, at speakfeast on Instagram, or Chef Anthony Nichols. We're restaurant consultants, researching development, and we're going to soon have our episode Speak Feast, which is going to be on Instagram TV. Our first guest is going to be Wynn Noble in Wynn Noble Plateware in Brooklyn.
Nice.
So we're excited about that.
Cool. And please visit Leg Avocado. We help to grow a lot of food startups on the culinary and operations side, so bootleg.avocado.com. Next episode, we're going to talk to the CEO of Foodie for All. They basically do a help with your corporate dining needs, and they actually partner with a lot of companies like Shake Shack and everything else to, like, you know, bring that type of food to businesses.
Sounds good.
Thanks everyone for joining. Like I said, go to Bootleg Avocado for the next episode, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thanks,
guys.
Great.